Now, at the start of this month, we began a series, as has already been mentioned too, to mixed response, I'm appreciating now, on prayer. But I did say at the time, it will probably fill some people's hearts with joy and others not so much so. But God's really been speaking to us, hasn't he, over these last couple of weeks, and encouraging us about encountering him in our everyday life. What it means to open up our hearts and our lives to the reality of his presence, which is with us every single day, every single moment. And we've just enjoyed a great week of prayer together. I know many of you have been along to the different events. You've been out prayer walking on the streets. You've been getting together in twos and threes. We've just had some wonderful times here. And I think one of the things that I've enjoyed most about this week of prayer is just the intimate sense of God's presence here with us. We had such an amazing time on Friday evening as we did something a little bit different. We had this half night of prayer where we were just worshipping. It was just continuous worship together, and different places around the hall where people could go and just be quiet with God and pray into different things. And it was just, you know, the time just flew by. It was an amazing time. I'm sure we're going to do similar kind of events again. Certainly the response of people that were here would indicate that would be a good thing to do. So it's been an amazing week. So God's really been speaking to us. And so this week, we're doing something slightly different. We're just laying aside the encounter series just for 1 week, although what I'm going to be sharing is not anything new and really kind of flows out of what we've been looking at, and really the kind of the thing that God's just continuing to impress on my heart for us as a church. We thought, you know, the sort of beginning of this September term, it's kind of quite a key time for us, isn't it, as we enter a new kind of academic year. So we felt it would be helpful just for this week to take a little bit of a step back and think about what God has been doing and saying to us, particularly in the light of the vision that we shared back in January, that we would be a people who are connecting with God, connecting with each other, connecting with our community, and connecting with the bigger picture. And I was going to do a bit of a kind of a recap, almost like a half-term report, if you like, on that. But time's moving on. I want us to pray together before we finish. So I'm not going to do that, other than to say, God has really been meeting with us, hasn't he, this year? Really encountering us, really speaking to us in amazing ways and new ways for many of us, I know. We've experienced and enjoyed his presence in our times of worship. We've had people encounter the power of God in healing, people being filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time, being refilled with the Holy Spirit, being released in new gifts. We've seen people getting saved in these last few months, and it's going to be our joy to baptize some of those, Matt and Grace, in a couple of weeks' time. So do put that date in your diary. It's going to be a wonderful Sunday morning together. And we've been encountering God maybe in ways, certainly in recent kind of weeks and months, that might be unfamiliar to some of you. We've had times when God's presence has been so powerful amongst us that people have been shaking, falling over. For some of us who've seen that before, that might be, oh yeah, that we remember when that happened before. That was fantastic. For some of you, that may be a new thing. Can I just assure you, that's just simply God's powerful presence with us in the way that he promises. And I trust, certainly for me, when I see and experience that, what that does in my heart is that makes me desire more. I want more. I don't want to kind of think of these past kind of few weeks and months and think, well, that was nice, that was a bit different. Yeah, we enjoyed that. But actually, the cry of my heart is, God, don't stop. God, don't stop. I want to keep putting myself in a place where you can come and meet with me in that way. Lord, we want as a people to be putting ourselves and being eager to come into your presence and encounter you in whatever context that is. Lord God, would you continue to do that? And in greater measure. Lord, we don't want this just to be a blip on our spiritual radar. But God, I want this to be something that is a regular occurrence in my life, encountering you in great power. Let's continue to stir that hunger and that expectation in our hearts. Fan into flame what God's placed in us. So we've been, as I say, I'm not going to do the half-term report, if you like. We've got a church family meeting in October. Maybe we'll get a chance to do a bit more of that there, to just go over some of the things that have been happening and some of the things that we're kind of wanting to press into. It's been busy. There's lots of things that have been happening. And that's why it would have taken a while to go through them. Well, I'm not going to do that now. But what I wanted to just focus our hearts on this morning is just to take a step back from the busyness and remind ourselves, what is the goal of all this activity? I wonder if you ever think, what's the goal of my life? Possibly not very often, because we all get caught up in the busyness and the detail of life, don't we? Sometimes it's hard enough remembering what I'm going to be doing tomorrow, let alone thinking about, hey, what's the goal of my life? What am I living for? We can get ruled by our diaries sometimes. And I don't know about your diary, but there's nowhere in my diary where there's a little space for me to remind myself why I'm doing everything that I'm doing. There's no box that says, and the purpose of all this is... And so I just want us to take a step back for a moment and remind ourselves. And I say, there's nothing new in what I'm going to share this morning, but it just a burden of my heart of what I think God has been leading us in and sharing with us. When Jesus called his first disciples, there was certainly no ambiguity, was there, about the goal of life that he was calling them to. And because they were the fishermen, those first disciples, he used a kind of terms of reference that they would relate to. And he said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Those were Jesus' opening words to his disciples and his call on their life. And they were his closing words as well. Just couched in slightly different phrase, but the message was the same. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And he made these promises, I'll be with you to the very ends of the age, and I will send my Holy Spirit to empower you to do all that I've called you to do. We are so familiar with those words, aren't we? And we know too, but sometimes we need to just take a step back and remember that God's call for his disciples, God's call for those who are following him, hasn't changed, has it? We need to remind ourselves what God has gloriously saved us for, what he has amazingly called us to join with him in, and what he promises to perfectly equip us for. To be disciples, to be followers, whose life goal is to live life in a way that will draw others to become disciples and followers of Jesus too. That's what I think I need to write at the top of every page in my diary. What is the point of all this activity? It's because God has called me to be a disciple-making disciple. God has called me to be a follower of his Son who lives his life in such a way that with his help, other people are drawn to being followers of Jesus too. That's the goal of our lives, isn't it? That's why if we take a step back from this vision, from all this activity, that's what God's called us to. Nothing else. And so I just want to take a few minutes to look in a passage of Scripture in 1 Peter. So if you've got a Bible and you'd like to turn that, just how God says he's going to do that in us. As I say, this is nothing new, but it's just what's on my heart and just want to unpack it for a few minutes. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to read just a little section from verse 4 to verse 12. And just bring a few things out of it. Bring an application, and then I'd like us to pray together. So 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 12. And this is the Apostle Peter, and he's writing to Christians who've been scattered to different parts of Asia Minor. who were establishing themselves there and establishing churches. And he says this, as you come to him, that's Jesus, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says about Jesus, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone, Jesus, is precious. But to those who don't believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. And I want to focus just our thoughts really on that end little bit, particularly on verses 9 and 10. Peter here is describing us. He's describing God's people. And he's using language here which seems to deliberately echo some key passages in the Old Testament, some phrases from Exodus and from Isaiah and Hosea. And whenever that happens in Scripture, whenever a writer inspired by God uses language which references other parts of Scripture, that is rarely by chance. In fact, I'll say that's never by chance, because God doesn't do things by chance. They are not just random similarities. These Old Testament references usually kind of provide us with background theological material that gives context and extra substance to the passage that they're put in. They're like a hypertext link. Those of you that know kind of online documents, you get something called hypertext where you can click on a word and it will open up some kind of background information for you or some context. And where we get in Scripture kind of words and phrases that are very obviously kind of references to other parts of Scripture, then they very often act in the same way to give us background and context. Is it possible to put the PowerPoint up, please, Andy? So I've just drawn up a little table to show you these references. So particularly Isaiah 42, Exodus 19, and Hosea 2, phrases that Peter has used are mirrored in those key passages in the Old Testament. In Exodus 19, for example, God has rescued his people out of slavery in Egypt, and he's brought them to the foot of Mount Sinai. Let me just read those verses to you. Exodus 19. It says, then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you're to say to the house of Jacob and what you're to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. God is going to give Moses the Ten Commandments, but first he wants to tell the people through Moses how they should see themselves and the purpose for the covenant that God is making with them. This nation are to be a priestly kingdom, words which Peter echoes here. Now, ordinary priests in that time made God known to the people, and they offered sacrifices for their sins. God is saying, now I want you, my people, as a community, to perform this function, to make God known to the other nations and to call them to be made right with God. And Peter's reference to being a royal priesthood, it's about bringing our offering of worship to God. We see that in verse 5 of that chapter. But it's more than that. It's also about our corporate identity, just as it was in that passage in Exodus. It's about God's priestly people whose lives together demonstrate and display the goodness of God and his call for others to be made right with him. In the same way, God's people are to be a holy nation, holy just as God is holy, to be distinct, to be set apart for him, to be different. That's what Peter's saying here, and that's what God was saying to Moses back in Exodus. See, if we're not careful, we can fall into the trap of thinking that if we want to attract people outside the church to God's kingdom, that we kind of need to downplay our differences, that we need to do everything to portray ourselves as normal and not much different for others. Obviously, for some of us, that's easier than for others. But we can think of that, you know, that we've got to downplay our differences. We've got to kind of be as similar as possible. We've got to be relevant. But it doesn't seem, does it, like this is God's plan for us. He's not calling us to put all our energies into being relevant, but he's calling us to put all our energies into being distinctive, to be different. The more we become like the world, the less we actually have to offer. And yeah, we want to understand our culture and we want to communicate to our culture and we don't want to be unnecessarily offensive or off-putting. But what will draw people to God's kingdom and the church is what is different about us, not about what is similar. In Philippians 2, Paul uses a picture of the lives of God's people being so different from those around them that they are like a supernova against a pitch black sky. God's plan seems to be for us to pursue difference. Not gratuitously, not to be culturally weird or dated or obscure, that's not God's plan, but to be different, to be distinctive, to have a gospel distinctiveness. The verses in Hosea that Peter echoes in this passage read like this. God again speaking, saying, I will have mercy on those who are called no mercy, and I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. What's the distinctiveness that God is calling us to? The difference? It's not a holier than thou niceness, but ordinary lives that are defined and filled and shaped and flavored and overflowing with God's love and God's power. Those who've received mercy, those who've been given a new identity in Christ. A people who are able to forgive and not hold grudges because we've been wonderfully forgiven, because we've received mercy. A people whose lives are marked by peace and fruitfulness, even in tough circumstances, because we found a God that we can trust, who says that he's our God and that we're his people. A people who are not continually pushing themselves forward and putting down others because we are secure in identity in Christ, the sons and daughters of God. A people who listen and care and show love because we know what it feels like to be the apple of God's eye. A people who are willing to offer to pray for others because we've discovered a God who can make a difference. A people who are generous because we're rich in God. A people who can smile on a cold, wet Monday morning because God is good every day, whatever the weather. And a people who are willing to share the story of God in their lives with others because we remember that we were once lost too. And we remember how God used others to share the good news with us too. A people who, as we've been looking at, have an expectation that God wants to open our hearts to the reality of his constant presence with us. And his desire and his ability to meet every single one of our needs, but also of those around us, the greatest of which, of course, is to know him. God is calling us to be distinctive individuals and a distinctive community that will draw friends and colleagues and neighbours and nations to him. It's the same idea in the passage Peter alludes to in Isaiah. I won't read that now because we're running out of time. But the gist of the passage is that God is a God who saved his people so that they might proclaim his praise through their lives lived out in honouring his name. And this is the same mission and strategy that Peter lays out for the church, which he then goes on to unpack in the rest of his letter. Firstly, live lives that are so full of God's grace that they are different, that they're distinctive, that they shine out. So full of God's goodness that people will take notice. And then to be ready to explain the hope that we've found that enables us to live like that. He goes on to say in chapter 3, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope you have. Let your words and actions declare the praises of God. Be distinct, be different. That's what God is calling us to be. And we are. We are different, aren't we? It's why Peter calls us aliens and strangers. It's a theme that runs through the book of 1 Peter, through that letter. We are aliens and strangers as Christians. We are distinctive. We are different. We don't live in a Christian nation, do we? If we do, it's by name only. Most people don't go to church. A recent Tier Fund survey actually found that 70% of people have no intention of going to church or church-based events. Most people, actually, in our generations now, have grown up without any meaningful church contact. They know nothing of the Bible, even if they think they know what's in it. And if they're asked about Christianity, would probably interpret it as maybe being kind to your neighbour and praying. Many people don't believe in a personal God. Or if they do, then they view the different religions in a way maybe that we would see different denominations of the Christian church. That there are differences, but they're basically the same. We are aliens and strangers in our community. Our community is every bit as much a mission field as the communities that Peter was writing to at the birth of the church in the first century. And so when he talks to his readers about being aliens and strangers, that connects with us, doesn't it? But the point that he's making here is the fact that we're so different is not an obstacle to God reaching our community through us, but it's his strategy for reaching the community through us. It's the key. Living lives that are different. Living lives that are distinctive. Living lives that are full of the grace and the love and the power of God. And you know, as a church, we want to continue to put on good events, good social outreach, evangelistic events. And I'll highlight a few that are coming up in a minute. And we want our meetings when we gather together to be fantastic times together, don't we? And we want to keep inviting people along to those things. But at the moment, most of our community is not in our meetings. And they have no intention of being in our meetings at the moment. And we're only reaching some through our events and our ministries. We can't pin all our hopes, can we, on events and meetings alone to reach our community with the gospel. Because if that's all we have, most people aren't interested in coming to those things according to the survey. God's plan, as Peter's laying out here, is that our everyday lives are going to be the evangelistic events. Our everyday lives are going to be the evangelistic events. The place where God wants to show up in grace and in power, as well as in our meetings. Just been reading a book called Everyday Church by a couple of authors called Tim Chester and Steve Timmis. And they say this: at the heart of our vision is not a new way of doing events, but the creation of word-centered gospel communities in which people are sharing life with one another and with unbelievers, seeking to bless their neighborhoods and sharing the good news with unbelievers. The context for this gospel-centered community is not events, but ordinary, everyday life. I think that's what God is impressing on us, putting on our hearts as a church, that he wants to encounter us and fill our lives so that our everyday lives become the gospel events. Our everyday lives are where God comes and moves in grace and in power and in love to shine through us and to transform other people's lives. Does that sound daunting? Well, yeah, it could do if we think we're doing it alone, but we're not doing it alone, are we? We're doing it together with God. You need to notice the initiative and the activity of God in everything in this passage. He chose us. We wouldn't have chosen ourselves for this task, would we? But God chose us. He called us out of darkness, not into our light, but into his glorious light. He poured in his life-changing mercy, and he gave us a new identity that we would belong to him. It's all the initiative and activity of God, and he is building us into a spiritual house, Peter says in verse 5, a people who carry with them the awesome presence of God. That's why we need to keep encountering him, connecting with him, learning to do life with him at the center. It's so vital. He is our hope. He is our song. He is our strength. He is the captain that we follow. Salvation and restoration are his ideas. And we have a God who's not just about the big picture, but he's about detail too. God plans and prepares all this in advance. Peter and Margaret, I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but they shared a testimony this week when we went out prayer walking, just invited people to walk around the neighbourhoods. They were saying they went out kind of late one evening, were just walking around their streets and praying. As they were coming home, just before they went into their home, a neighbour was out on the doorstep and kind of said hi and said, you know, what are you doing? And it just gave them an opportunity. They just said, well, we're here, we're praying. We're praying for God's blessing on the neighbourhood. And it just opened up an amazing conversation. We're able to offer to pray for them and just show the love and concern of God. God is big on detail. And we're doing it together with one another as well. We're doing it together. It's one thing to see the light of God in one person's life, but then to see that being worked out in a community of people, a community of grace and love and honour, is a whole other mind-blowing level. There's nothing like the community of God, is there? Where grace is demonstrated, where diverse people come together in the same way. Nowhere else where broken people find a home and are restored. Nowhere else where grace is experienced and God is present by his Spirit. And people are often attracted to the community of Jesus before they're attracted to the message of Jesus. God's plan is for our everyday lives to be the evangelistic events. We still need outreach events. We still need events that we can invite people into the community of Jesus, and events where the gospel's being proclaimed. We've got some coming up. We've got a quiz night in a few weeks on the 19th of October on a Saturday evening. Family-friendly time. It's just going to be a wonderful opportunity for us to be together as family, to have fun, to invite others into. We've got a men's event in the beginning of November where we've got Tough Talk coming. They're a group from London of men, ex-kind of hard men and con men, some who've been in prison, who come up. They do powerlifting. So they come up, they bring up a load of powerlifting kit, and they kind of do a demonstration. They kind of talk about their lives and how God has impacted them and changed them. They invite people to come and have a go at powerlifting. So guys, I warn you, just get in shape, get ready. But we're going to have a men's evening. We're going to kind of have a curry night and just look to kind of invite friends and contacts along to hear these amazing testimonies and just to have fun together. We've got our Christmas events, the Panto and Carol services, things that we can invite people to. We still need those events. We still need those with particular evangelistic gifting amongst us, but not to do all the evangelism, but to train and equip the church, as well as proclaiming the gospel. And we've got also some training and equipping evenings coming up in October and November. So what we're going to be doing in those 2 months is we're going to be pulling our growth groups together. So we're not going to be having separate growth group activities, but instead we're going to be getting together on one evening each week. They're mainly Thursday evenings, but a few are on different evenings, and the dates are in your news sheets on InTouch and in the bulletin. And they're going to be times for teaching, but more than that, for practical hands-on equipping in things like living life in the power of the Holy Spirit, using the gifts of the Spirit, praying for the sick, knowing how we can be prepared to give an answer for the hope we have. And we've got some great people coming in to do some of this. We've got Grantley Watkins, who many of you will know from Wyndham. We've got Angela Kemp, again, who many of you will know, a lady from South Africa who God's used just incredibly powerfully in reaching the township communities there through the power of the Holy Spirit, just living everyday life amongst people. She's going to be coming for one of our evenings. We've got Mike Bollinger, who's again a guy that some of you will know, who's kind of heading up the kind of prophetic ministry in our relational mission network of churches. He's going to be coming for an evening as well. So please come to those. Get those dates in your diary, because we want to be equipped, don't we? Not just to do that stuff in our meetings, but to do that stuff and be open to God and what he's wanting to do in us in our everyday lives. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We're different. Why? Because God has called us and chosen us. He's set us apart. And the fact that we're different is his plan for reaching the world. We don't want to downplay it. We want God to continue to change us and to build us into a people for the display of his glory. We want our everyday lives to be the evangelistic events of the church, as we invite God to fill each and every day with his presence, his leading, and his empowering. And we want our lives together as a community, don't we? Our friendships to be on display and to be inviting others to join with us in encountering the God who saves and restores. So let's stand together. You are a chosen people. You are a holy nation, called by God, chosen by him. We are being built together into a people in whom and amongst whom God can display his glory and his grace and his power in our workplaces, amongst our neighbours, in our friendship groups, when we take our kids to school and wait in the playground, as we go to the shops, as we go to the gym or join in kind of hobbies and groups in our community, our everyday lives are the evangelistic events of the church. I just invite you, let's just open our hearts to God. We've been praying this morning, we've been worshipping, Lord, we want more of you. Lord, would you set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. Lord, I want to be full of you. Full of you. Full of your life. Full of your grace. Full of your love. And I just encourage you, maybe just to, if you're here with someone, just put your hand on their shoulder. And let's just invite God to come and fill us afresh with his Holy Spirit. Let's just say to God, Lord, we long for this. Lord, we hear what you're saying to the church. Lord, we don't want to be a church that just relies on events and meetings. Lord, we want to be a people who are living in the presence of God and taking the presence of God with us everywhere we go. Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us afresh? Even now, Lord, would you come and just raise our expectations and our faith, even now, to say, Lord, we would not have chosen ourselves for this task. Lord, we are not capable of doing this. But with you, Lord, everything is possible. Lord, this is your plan. Lord, you've chosen for us to be different. Lord, you've chosen us to be stars that shine in the night sky. Lord, would you continue, I pray, to pour your Holy Spirit out on us. Lord, to give us ears to hear, hearts that are open to the stirring and the prompting of your Spirit. As we spend time with people, as we go to work, Lord, I pray, bless every single person here who goes to work, who has a job. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, our colleagues around us. Lord, I pray, would you use us to impact our colleagues at work, I pray. Lord, would you cause your life to flow from within us? Lord, would your grace be so evident in us? Lord, would you help us to care and to love and to take time for people, Lord, that Lord, our lives would be different. Lord, I pray for all of us that have got neighbours, all of us that aren't hermits and live on our own. Lord, we pray for those living around us. Lord, we want to see them encountered by you, Lord God. We want opportunities to share our lives with them, to invite them in for a meal or to watch X Factor with us or to whatever it is, Lord God. I just pray, would you open up opportunities, Lord, just as you did for Margaret and Peter this week to chat with their neighbour, and how naturally you just opened up an opportunity for them to share you. Lord, I pray, would you do that amongst us, even this week? Lord, I pray this week for opportunities for us to meet sick people. Lord, who we can pray for, who we can offer to say, look, we believe in a God who heals. Can I pray for you? Lord, give us the courage, I pray, to do those things, to take those risks. Lord, for your glory. Lord, that we'll have many, many more testimonies. Lord, come, make our lives, Lord, these everyday evangelistic events that we long for them to be. Lord, we need you, and we pray that you would do that in us. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. We're going